Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, my name is Susie Haynes, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram from Friday, September 1st, 2023, Section A, State and Local News. Midland leads Texas in monthly rent increases, by Stuart Doreen. Midland led all cities in Texas in monthly rent increases, according to ApartmentList.com. The online apartment guide showed the average rent in Midland is still below what can be found in larger metropolitan areas, but the 2.3% increase in August put Midland at the top of the list of biggest increases, with Beaumont 1.6% and San Angelo 1.5% rounding out the top three. The rent in Midland also is leading the West Texas markets listed in Apartment List's September National Rent Report. The median two-bedroom rent in Midland rose to $1,146, which was higher than San Angelo at $1,082 and Abilene at $1,057. There were no numbers reported for Lubbock. Other information provided included a $914 median rent for a one-bedroom apartment in Midland, again, the highest in West Texas. In Odessa, the median rents were $746 for a one-bedroom apartment and $982 for a two-bedroom. Odessa and Midland ranked numbers 1 and 2 in the state for yearly growth at 16.2% and 15.2% respectively. So, while both trail median rents in larger areas, there is ground being made up. ApartmentList.com reported the following median two-bedroom rents: $1,304 in Houston, $1,306 in San Antonio, $1,331 in Fort Worth, $1,461 in Dallas, and $1,763 in Austin. The website also showed that rents fell month over month in August in 53 of the nation's 100 largest cities, and that prices are down year over year in 72 of the 100 cities. Month-over-month growth in West Texas: Midland 2.3%, San Angelo 1.5%, Odessa 0.7%, Abilene 0.2%. Year-over-year rent growth in West Texas: Odessa 16.2%, Midland 15.2%, Abilene 3.9%, and San Angelo 1.2%. Quench your thirst with Dirty Drink Company. Specialty sodas make their way to Midland, by Morgan Taylor Thomas. What's up with all the rattlesnake sightings? By Mercedes Cordero. Recent posts on the Nextdoor app have Northwest Midland residents asking, "What's up with all the rattlesnake sightings?" On August 19th, a Nextdoor user shared that while visiting Opportunity Park, they spotted a rattlesnake under the rock wall. She stated she alerted the tennis center and encouraged people visiting the park to stay vigilant. Between August 27th through the 30th, two residents from the Briarwood, Great House, and Green Tree area reported baby rattlesnakes were found in a garage and on their front porch, respectively. On Thursday, a Grassland Estates West resident reported a baby rattlesnake on Gladewood Drive. A resident of Woodland Park in North Midland also reported finding a rattlesnake in their front yard flower bed on August 26. Burr Williams, an expert on all things nature and former director of the Sibley Nature Center, told the Reporter-Telegram that recent record-high temperatures have snakes looking for cooler places. Snakes prefer 75 to 90 degree temperatures, shady places or holes when it is hitting 100 degrees. People watering their yards help cool things a bit, but also provide plant growth and seed production for rodents, Burr wrote. This means snakes go to these places to find rodents, he stated. Burr also wrote, "We create the conditions by our actions. Another factor is we constantly build new subdivisions, displacing the reptile residents and dispersing them. Rattlesnakes, or snakes in general, often occur in the vicinity of suburban and urban residential areas, according to Texas Parks and Wildlife. To discourage rattlesnakes from visiting your yard, TPWD advises eliminating rock piles, brush piles, and areas of tall grass will cause snakes to seek a more suitable habitat. Lumber, wood piles, and other debris around the home should be stored at least 18 inches off the ground. Controlling insect and rodent populations in the area will also help to discourage snakes by eliminating their food supply. Snakes will sometimes enter houses, barns, and other buildings because they are attracted by the presence of rodents and insects, as well as by the cool, damp, dark shelter provided by these buildings." What's up with all the rattlesnake sightings? By Mercedes Cordero. Recent posts on the Nextdoor app have Northwest Midland residents asking, "What's up with all the rattlesnake sightings?" On August 19th, a Nextdoor user shared that while visiting Opportunity Park, they spotted a rattlesnake under the rock wall. She stated she alerted the tennis center and encouraged people visiting the park to stay vigilant. Between August 27th through the 30th, two residents from the Briarwood, Great House, and Green Tree area reported baby rattlesnakes were found in a garage and on their front porch, respectively. On Thursday, a Grassland Estates West resident reported a baby rattlesnake on Gladewood Drive. A resident of Woodland Park in North Midland also reported finding a rattlesnake in their front yard flower bed on August 26th. Burr Williams, an expert on all things nature and former director of the Sibley Nature Center, told the Reporter-Telegram that recent record-high temperatures have snakes looking for cooler places. Snakes prefer 75 to 90 degree temperatures, shady places or holes when it is hitting 100 degrees. People watering their yards help cool things a bit, but also provide plant growth and seed production for rodents, Burr wrote. "This means snakes go to these places to find rodents," he stated. Burr also wrote, "We create the conditions by our actions. Another factor is we constantly build new subdivisions, displacing the reptile residents and dispersing them. Rattlesnakes, or snakes in general, often occur in the vicinity of suburban and urban residential areas, according to Texas Parks and Wildlife. To discourage rattlesnakes from visiting your yard, TPWD advises eliminating rock piles, brush piles, and areas of tall grass will cause snakes to seek a more suitable habitat. Lumber, wood piles, and other debris around the home should be stored at least 18 inches off the ground. Controlling insect and rodent populations in the area will also help to discourage snakes by eliminating their food supply. Snakes will sometimes enter houses, barns, and other buildings because they are attracted by the presence of rodents and insects, as well as by the cool, damp, dark shelter provided by these buildings." Rescue Runners shares Fozzie's story. The following is a Rescue Runner's success story, provided by Tasha Sport, the chairman of the Midland Animal Advisory Committee. Fozzie was surrendered to the shelter July 11th. He participated in Rescue Runners on July 15th and quickly became a volunteer favorite. He ran more than 3 miles that morning, and one of his running partners was Midland Run Crew's Lenita Torres. She immediately fell in love with him and knew he would have a home in no time. Lenita was shocked. When the urgent list for the Midland Animal Shelter was published this week, and Fozzie was on that list, Lenita knew she had to get to work and find him a home, and that's exactly what she did. She posted on all her social media accounts: The Running Up Instagram, Midland Run Crew Instagram, Lenita Torres Facebook, stating how wonderful he was and that we could come together and find him a home. A new member of the Midland Run crew, Karen Muniz, reached out stating she was looking for a running partner, and Fozzie was exactly what she was looking for. In Lenita's post, she had offered to pay the adoption fee for Fozzie. So on Wednesday, she and Karen met at the shelter, and it was love at first sight. Fozzie knew he was going home and gave his new mom a big thank you hug. Rescue Runners is a volunteer program to help run and walk the Midland Animal Shelter dogs. The shelter environment is a very stressful place, so getting the dogs out for some fun and exercise provides enrichment and allows for improvement in social skills. The outings allow the dogs an opportunity to showcase their personality outside of the kennel, helping promote adoptions. Rescue Runners takes place from 8 to 10 a.m. on the first and third Saturdays of the month. The next Rescue Runners is set for Saturday. Curbside Bistro offering special menu for Maui fundraiser by Morgan Taylor Thomas. National Weather Service Labor Day forecast calls for 100-degree high temperature by Stuart Doreen. Midland apparently is not done with the 100-degree temperatures in 2023. The National Weather Service reported Thursday that the expected high on Labor Day, Monday, will be 100 degrees. If the thermometer shows triple digits, it would be the first in Midland on Labor Day since 2014, when a record high temperature for Labor Day was set, 104 degrees. The National Weather Service shows 5 100-degree days on Labor Day in Midland's history. The normal high for September 4th is 91 degrees, according to the National Weather Service. The forecast calls for above-average temperatures and no rain through September 7th. Thursday's report, Thursday's high, 97 degrees. Typical high for August 31st, 92 degrees. Thursday's low, 66 degrees. Typical low for August 31st, 69 degrees. Record high for August 31st, 104 degrees, set in 1952. The last 3 days, Tuesday, 94 degrees, Wednesday, 93 degrees, Thursday, 97 degrees. Next 3 days, Friday, 99 degrees, Saturday, 98 degrees, Sunday, 98 degrees. OPD, 60-year-old arrested in hit-and-run investigation by Mercedes Cordero. A 60-year-old man was arrested Wednesday in connection with a hit-and-run investigation in South Odessa, according to the Odessa Police Department. Odessa police responded at about 5:11 p.m. to East 14th Street and North Hancock Avenue in reference to a major crash involving an electric bicycle. During the investigation, OPD learned that Dulce Zamata was traveling west in the 300 block of East 14th Street in a GMC Sierra and failed to yield the right-of-way at the intersection, striking an electric bicycle. The bicycle's occupant, a 22-year-old male, was transported to Medical Center Health with life-threatening injuries. Mata left the scene of the crash and failed to render aid, according to OPD. He later returned to the scene and was arrested for failure to stop and render aid, a third-degree felony. The investigation continues. Ex-staffers, Paxton pursued perks beyond impeachment allegations by Jake Blyberg and Paul Weber. Unexplained Caribbean and European trips that cost taxpayers more than $90,000. A $600 sports coat paid for by an event organizer. A $45 office Christmas cake taken as his own. These are among the perks that Republican Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton's former employees say he reveled in while using his office in ways that now have him facing a federal criminal investigation and potential ouster over allegations of corruption. Paxton's impeachment trial that starts Tuesday covers years of highly publicized scandal, criminal charges, and whistleblower accounts from his inner circle. But records obtained by the Associated Press, interviews with former aides, and a review of thousands of legal filings reveal other ways in which Paxton allegedly reaped the benefits of being one of Texas's most powerful figures. Together, they show how conviction and removal from office could cost Paxton not just a job, but a lifestyle. Last year, that lifestyle included more international trips than Texas governor and lieutenant governor made combined, and a previously unreported visit to Qatar to watch the World Cup. There are also accusations of behavior that raised eyebrows among employees at all levels of Paxton's office, including requesting special license plates, but never paying the $12.50 to acquire them. He always cared about what trip he was going on, who was taking him to dinner. James Blake Brickman, one of Paxton's former deputies, told investigators leading the impeachment in March, according to a transcript. "He likes the perks of the office," Brickman said. Spokespersons for Paxton and the Attorney General's office did not respond to questions about the accusations made by Paxton's former staff. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, who will act as judge during the impeachment trial, issued a sweeping gag order. First elected in 2014, Paxton has built a national profile using his office to try to overturn the 2020 presidential election, challenge Biden administration policies, and to fight for conservative social causes. He won re-election twice, despite the clouds of a securities fraud indictment and an ongoing FBI investigation. The federal investigation and impeachment focus on allegations by eight of Paxton's former top deputies that he helped a wealthy donor fend off an FBI investigation. In return, Austin real estate developer Nate Paul allegedly employed a woman with whom Paxton had an extramarital affair and bankrolled the renovations of his million-dollar Austin home. Both men have denied wrongdoing. Beyond friendly audiences and conservative-leaning television news networks, Paxton seldom makes public appearances. Bill Miller, a veteran Austin lobbyist, said the accusations that have engulfed Paxton for years color the perception of him, but don't represent the man he's long called a friend. "He's a genuinely nice guy and a cool customer," Miller said. "He's really good at making you like him." As Attorney General, Paxton is paid around $153,000 annually, a salary lower than many of his top aides. His wife, State Senator Angela Paxton, has worked as an educator and received $7,200 for serving in the Texas legislature, which meets for 6 months every 2 years. The full extent of the couple's wealth is unknown. Their required financial disclosures often a blurry picture. For instance, the most recent filings value their blind trust at $47,220 or more. Last year, Paxton's travels were extensive. Records show that after winning a Republican primary runoff against George P. Bush, who cast Paxton as unfit for office, Paxton spent 2 months flying to cities in the Caribbean and Europe. It's unclear who paid for Paxton's travel, but the trips cost taxpayers a combined $91,000 for his security detail. The purpose of the travel, which was first reported by the Dallas Morning News, is also unclear. Spokespersons for Paxton and the Attorney General's office did not respond to questions about the trips, which Paxton did not publicize. A few months later, Paxton was in Qatar for the 2022 World Cup, a trip that does not appear in his filings or security records. Another Republican State Attorney General, Sean Reyes of Utah, also attended and disclosed through a spokesman that Qatar's government paid his expenses without saying how much they were. In a statement, Qatar's embassy in Washington said it invited four state attorney generals as part of wider efforts in combating transnational crime, including human trafficking. Jeff Norwood, a Paxton spokesman, said Paxton paid his own way to the tournament and attended without state police security. Former employees say Paxton sometimes seized smaller opportunities to gain from office. David Maxwell, the Attorney General's former head of law enforcement and one of eight deputies who reported him to the FBI, told investigators that Paxton once bought a $600 sports coat from a hotel store while at a conference and billed it to the event's organizer. According to transcripts, Maxwell also said Paxton asked for specialty license plates available to state officials but never paid the nominal fee to pick them up. "He was all about the money," said Maxwell, who is also a former Texas Ranger, the state's elite law enforcement division. "He always had his hand out." Other former staff point to an even smaller gift. Around Christmas, for years, Texas grocery giant H-E-B sent a coconut-dusted cake to the Attorney General's office, which staff shared. That changed after Paxton was elected. According to three former employees of his executive office who spoke on condition of anonymity out of fear of retaliation, one said Paxton once told staff not to touch the cake because it was for his birthday, which is on December 23rd. Another said Paxton once had the cake brought to a Tex-Mex restaurant for a staff lunch, but never served it. The third recalled watching Paxton and an aide walk out of the office carrying the cake box. According to the required gift logs kept by Paxton's office, the cake was worth $45.
This is Christy, and I'm continuing to read Odessa American for August 31st, 2023. A judge has blocked, for now, a Texas law that drag show performers fear will shut them down, by Associated Press, August 31, 2023. By Juan A. Lozano, The Associated Press. Houston, a federal judge on Thursday temporarily blocked a new Texas law that drag shows artists fear will be used to shut them down or put them in jail. The law, approved by the Republican-controlled legislature, would expand the legal definition in Texas criminal code of what is considered to be an illegal public performance of sexual conduct in front of children. It is a part of a broader effort in Texas and other conservative states to crack down on drag shows and limit LGBTQ rights. Critics argued that the definition is so broad it could include the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders. U.S. District Judge David Hittner in Houston issued the temporary restraining order after a group of drag performers and LGBTQ plus rights advocates sought to keep the law from taking effect on Friday. During a two-day court hearing earlier this week, drag performers and advocates said the new law threatened their livelihoods and would censor their freedom of expression. In his order, Hittner agreed with those who filed the lawsuit that the new law is likely unconstitutional because it violates their First Amendment rights. Hittner said he issued the temporary restraining order to immediately stop the law while he prepares a more permanent order in the case. "This temporary order is a much-needed reprieve for all Texans, especially our LGBTQ plus and transgender community, who have been relentlessly targeted by our state legislature," said Brian Klossbauer, an attorney with the American Civil Liberties Union of Texas, which filed the lawsuit on behalf of its plaintiffs. The Texas Attorney General's office, which represented the state in the lawsuit, did not immediately return an email seeking comment Thursday. Governor Greg Abbott and his political allies want to use scare tactics and bigotry to erase LGBTQIA+ identities, especially Black and Brown, non-binary, and trans Texans. "Our organization works to create a safe space where every person has the freedom to express themselves free from government censorship, no matter our race and gender," said Gavin Hardegree, president of Abilene Pride Alliance, one of the lawsuit's plaintiffs. The Texas order follows similar rulings against drag performance bans in states including Florida and Tennessee. On Wednesday, another lawsuit was filed in Tennessee after a local district attorney warned he intended to enforce the state's law limiting drag shows, despite a federal judge's earlier ruling that the ban was unconstitutional. The new Texas law on sexual content and performances was promoted as a way of protecting children from seeing drag shows. Republican lawmakers amended it in response to criticism to remove some specific references to drag performances, but the sponsor's statement of intent still cites a need to protect children from seeing drag shows, and the final text broadened the scope of what's illegal in ways that would also cover many other performances done in front of children. For example, it defines sexual conduct to include sexual gestures that use accessories or prosthetics that exaggerate male or female sexual characteristics. The law also criminalizes real or simulated groping, real or simulated arousal, and the display of a sex toy if done in a prurient manner in front of a minor or on public property at a time and place where the performance could reasonably be expected to be viewed by a child. Violators could face up to a year in jail, and businesses hosting performances deemed illegal could be fined $10,000 for each violation. Like Texas, Arkansas has a new law regulating adult-oriented performance that doesn't mention drag specifically, but has raised concerns that it would be applied to drag performances. And Montana has a ban in effect that targets drag queen story hours specifically. The law's sponsor wrote that the bill is not intended to stop theatrical or similar exhibitions, even though it explicitly prohibits local governments from authorizing a sexually oriented performance, according to its new definition, in the presence of people under 18 years old. The lawsuit argues that the new law could ensnare television, movies, and websites, as well as all kinds of performances in addition to drag shows, including touring Broadway plays, karaoke nights, and restaurants staffed by scantily clad servers.
Hobbs to host first annual Splash Bash at City Park by staff writer. If you don't like getting splashed, you might want to steer clear of City Park and Hobbs on Saturday, September 23rd. For everyone else, the first annual Splash Bash is going to be a total blast. The free event will take place from noon to 4 p.m. on September 23rd. It will feature jump houses, DJ music, water shields and games, food trucks, and more, according to the city. City Park is located along North Jefferson and East Clinton Street in Hobbs. The city hopes to see you there. For more information and updates, follow the City of Hobbs Facebook page for updates. Animaniacs in Concert, Coming to Midland College by staff writer. The leading voice cast of Animaniacs are set to perform Animaniacs in Concert at Midland College on Saturday, September 9th, and part of the Phyllis and Bob Cowan Performing Arts Series. A free show that is fun for adults and kids alike will start at 7:30 p.m. at the Al G. Langford Chaparral Center at 3600 North Garfield in Midland. The show, which is fun for adults and kids alike, is a zany, animated, and totally insane performance of world-famous songs from the beloved cartoon series, backed by video projections from equally world-famous animations. General admission seating is free, and tickets are not required. Preferred seating is available for friends of the series and distinguished donors. Contact the Midland College Foundation, 432-685-4526, for more information about these opportunities. Animaniacs is a concert stars the show original composer Ranji Rojal and voice talent actor Rob Paulson, Yucko and Pinky on Animatics, Ralph and Donatello on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Animaniac is a Warner Brothers series created and produced by Steven Spielberg. Odessa Store Specializes in Classic Video Games by staff writer. A new store in Odessa specializes in classic video games. Retro Hall Video Games and Collectibles recently opened at 415 North Grant Street. Store hours are Tuesday through Saturday, 1 through 9 p.m. The business buys, sells, and trades games and also hosts Friday gaming events. YourBasin.com describes owner Zachary Hall as an avid video game collector who began with garage sales and eBay auctions. Honestly, that's my favorite part of this. It's just being able to interact with all the people that come in here, Hall said. Check out YourBasin.com's full story on the new shop here. Hi, friends. This is Julie, reading from the Permian Proud, and today is August 31st, 2023. 1.4 billion bond measure aims to energize Midland schools. August 30th by Kathy Chateau. Midland community members banded together this month in support of a single school bond proposition on November 7th ballot to energize Midland schools, EMS. The group formed a political action committee, PAC, consisting of volunteers rallying support for a $1.4 billion school bond facing Midland voters this fall that does not include a tax rate increase. Bond planning committee leaders were driven to find a solution meeting the community's long-term needs, according to spokesperson Austin Beam. The group's goal included building two new high school campuses, completing middle school renovations, implementing safety, security, and accessibility upgrades, providing district-wide improvements to aging facilities, and constructing a new elementary school, said Beam. He said that more fractured approach would cause delays and increase expense to voters and taxpayers, while ultimately limiting student potential. The state of school facilities in Midland can be described as nothing short of an emergency, and the time to act is now. Together with Bond Planning Committee member Aaron Edworm and Josh Hamm, Beam presented the final proposal to district leadership. The Midland Independent School District, MISD, school board approved the proposition with the PAC was officially formed. The aforementioned EMS was advocates for the supports to advancement of education excellence through responsible, strategic, and impactful investment in our school facility, according to the statement. Hamm emphasized that the Midland community is suffering from decades of uninvestment. For too long, we've kicked this can down the road, resulting in a failing infrastructure, he said, noting that the only way to right the ship is to keep local money in Midland for its own future. EMS co-chair Stan Van Hordzen, a former high school principal, voiced support for investing in Midland schools now and said that with nearly 30,000 students on campus this month, the community can't afford to wait any longer. Van Hoosers, fellow EMS co-chair, Tina Ortiz, emphasized that the group wanted a recognized name for the community's bilingual voter. She highlighted that EMS is synonymous with emergency services. The state of school facility in Midland can be described as nothing short of an emergency, and the time to act is now, said Ortiz. The group is appealing to voters to say yes for Midland schools. Inspiring Permian Basin Mom Crowned Miss America by Mike Aldax. One of the Permian Basin's own has been crowned Miss America. Regina Strock, graduate of Odessa High School class of 2014, who is currently raising her family in Midland, beat out more than 40 other competitors for the coveted honor Saturday night at the competition in Las Vegas, according to Pageant Circle. She previously held the titles of Miss Texas USA, Miss Big Bend, Miss Permian Basin, Miss Ector County, the publication notes. Strock succeeded last year's winner Nicole Zutskin of Illinois. Runners-up in this contest were Shelby Petty of California and Nicole Zurkan of Illinois, respectively. The Miss America pageant features the most accomplished married women of America. Each year, delegates represent U.S. states plus the District of Columbia compete for the honor. The winners of the Miss America and Miss American pageant go on to compete to Miss World. Miss America was the first Mrs. pageant to celebrate married women and their families, the contest said. Strock, 27, is now getting national attention, but nowhere are people more proud than right here in her hometown. In honor of her victory, the Ector County School District took a walk down memory lane by sharing photos online of Strock as a member of the Lady Broncos volleyball and basketball teams, and also while performing for the Bronco Legacy Choir. Stock was described as an inspiring mom who is raising four children with her husband Robert. Earlier this year, she completed training to become a paramedical tattoo artist, where she can camouflage scars and stretch marks and reconstruct areolas. She plans to open her paramedical tattoo business, InkRx, soon. Scars can be physical, mental, and emotional, she said. Through my business and my platform, take off the mask so you can live full and live empty. I help people heal and from the scar and the trauma and the pain that comes from it. I help people love themselves again and get their confidence back. Stock said her platform is all about heart work and finding yourself, not the person that you were conditioned to believe you have to be. My platform is something that I am extremely passionate about because it is something I'm still working through myself, she said. I'm healing my own trauma while also others heal from theirs. In an Instagram post Monday, Stock said her dream came true in Las Vegas. She praised her fellow contestants as some of the most incredible women I've ever met. I've worked so hard physically, mentally, and emotionally to be able to show up this week as my truest, most authentic self, Stock said. I'm grateful that the hard work I've put in has paid off. I started my journey of Miss Texas hoping to find my way and find my purpose. I'm thankful that the road to Miss America has helped me heal and find my path in life. Stock further stated she has big heels to fill and cannot wait to serve as the new Miss America.
SM expands Midland Basin holdings by 35%. The story was written by Miller McEwen, oil editor. SM Energy has been in shopping mode, already expanding its Midland Basin holdings 35% in the first half of the year. SM recently completed the purchase of approximately 20,000 net acres in Dawson and North Martin counties for $90.6 million. The acreage includes approximately 1,250 barrels of oil equivalent per day, plus undeveloped acreage. The purchase comes after SM acquired 6,300 net acres in an undisclosed location in the Midland Basin in the first quarter and recently leased an additional 2,800 net acres near this purchase. Quote, we have added 29,100 net acres this year to date in the Midland Basin, a 35% increase, and the team is excited with these latest 20,000 acres to target more Dean potential, which to date has been the producing interval in some of our very best wells in the Midland Basin. Herb Vogel, SM President and Chief Executive Officer, told analysts during the company's second quarter earnings call. SM, which is already operating three rigs and one completion crew in the Midland Basin, intends to add a fourth rig in the fourth quarter. Quote, we're first going into another part of Rockstar and then moving over to the acreage as soon as we're ready, Vogel told analysts, adding the company should start drilling on the new acreage late this year, continuing into next year. SM's Rockstar position is in Martin and Howard counties, while its Sweetie Peck position is in Midland and Upton counties. Quote, this is a sort of play that our best wells have been in the Dean. And so we're really excited to see what we can do up here. We do have a lot of confidence given offset well data, both vertical and horizontal wells, he said. Asked how SM plans to develop the new assets, Vogel said the new acreage is not the usual stack mudrock Permian plan. Quote, in this area, we're really targeting much more conventional sands with a higher porosity and really oil-saturated rock, and that underpins the prolific wells with the type curve characteristic is a bit different than your normal plays. It's quite good from an economic standpoint. Right now, we're looking at optimizing the lateral length. And as part of that, won't be putting the spacing, and that will optimize our economics, he answered. Initial well results are expected in the first half of next year, he added, though there has already been quite a bit of offset drilling, and the new acreage lies just southeast of where SM has had some of its best wells ever, producing from the Dean. Asked about the mystery 9,100 acres, Fogle said the company still sees opportunity to get additional acreage around that acreage, which is why the company has yet to disclose the location. The Dean Formation, Fogle said, quote, doesn't work everywhere. You have to really understand the geoscience and the nature of the sands, where they are and where they are oil-saturated and where the porosity is strong that would allow for high productivity. So that takes quite a bit of detailed mapping. You can really start with the vertical wells, and then it helps when there's offset horizontals to confirm the thought process that you have. Quote, I would say it isn't for everyone and on everyone's acreage, but there are certain areas where it will work extremely well. And that's what we've homed in on. And we've mapped throughout the basin and said, okay, here the Dean works. Here the Dean would be wet, and here the Dean, the sands are too thin, here the sands are really thick. So we've mapped that through to identify the sweet spots that will give what I call top-tier returns, which is what we've had in our existing Northwest Rockstar position, which underpinned our Dean performance, end quote. Carbon capture could be next trillion-dollar industry. The story was written by James Osborne, Washington Bureau. During a meeting with investors in April, ExxonMobil CEO Darren Woods laid out what he described as a new business opportunity that stood to transform the oil giant in the decades to come. In recent years, governments had begun to step up decarbonization efforts, putting at risk Exxon's hundreds of billions of dollars in annual revenues from oil and gas. But there was also an opportunity for oil companies, well-versed in the mechanics of operating underground, to capture and store carbon dioxide emissions from smokestacks or even from the atmosphere itself as governments move to limit and put a price on carbon emissions. Such a business, Woods said, could eventually be worth trillions of dollars a year. Quote, the world's climate challenge is immense, and the opportunity it creates is equally immense, Woods told investors. The world needs to establish a new industry, a carbon reduction industry, with new value chains and products, and we need it sooner rather than later. These needs play to our strengths, end quote. In the decades since nations around the globe agreed to adopt policy to cut greenhouse gas emissions and prevent the planet from warming more than 2 degrees Celsius, most of the investment to that end have been around cleaning up the power grid through the installation of wind and solar farms and then electrifying those features of modern society that run on fossil fuels, like cars and home furnaces. But there remain substantial chunks of the economy that are not as easily electrified, such as airplanes, cement manufacturing, and long-haul trucks, or even cars in places like Central Asia and Africa, where electrical service remains non-existent or unreliable. And now executives at America's largest oil companies, a group that includes Houston-area giants Exxon, Chevron, and Occidental, are beginning to invest tens of billions of dollars in developing carbon management systems that would allow society to keep using oil and natural gas, but do so without increasing the concentration of carbon in the atmosphere. Of course, if a truck is burning gasoline, it will still emit carbon dioxide. But if the company selling the oil from which the gas is made captures an equivalent amount of carbon dioxide, it could claim it is having no climate impact. And if enough machines were sucking carbon out of the atmosphere, the theory goes, you could burn all the oil and natural gas you needed without hurting the climate. Carbon capture and storage remains a fringe technology which, despite billions of dollars in federal funding over the past two decades, has not made a dent in emissions. Still, the technology remains critical to keeping the planet from dangerously warming, scientists say, with a report by the National Academies of Science in 2018 projecting that due to the rising energy demand and the limits of renewable energy, the planet will need 10 gigatons of carbon removal technology by mid-century, enough to sequester about 20% of current global emissions, and twice as much by 2100 to avoid dangerous warming. Quote, the oil and gas companies are looking at their long-term future and saying we might be transitioning away from oil and gas, but it's going to take 40 or 50 years, and over that time we could easily blow past our climate targets, said Chris Jones, a chemical engineering professor at Georgia Tech, who worked on this study, adding, quote, 1.5 degrees Celsius is gone. I think 2 degrees is very optimistic, and 2.5 is where we ought to start thinking about. And at 2.5, we will need a lot of negative emissions, even with the rapid decarbonization people are projecting, end quote. Priorities shift. Large oil companies have for years made investments in clean energy technology that paled in comparison to the money they sank into finding new oil and gas fields and building chemical plants. But that storyline began to shift last summer following Congress's decision to expand the tax credit for carbon capture under the $680 billion Inflation Reduction Act, allowing companies to claim $180 per ton for carbon dioxide pulled from the atmosphere and $85 per ton if captured from a smokestack. Less than 10 days after President Joe Biden signed the bill into law, Occidental, which had declared its transition into a carbon management company in 2020, announced it was moving ahead with construction on the world's largest direct air capture facility in West Texas, with tentative plans to build 100 direct air capture projects by 2035. Earlier this month, the company disclosed it was buying its partner in that project, Carbon Engineering, for $1.1 billion. In December, Exxon announced plans to allocate $17 billion, 15% of its entire capital budget, to low-carbon investments over the next 5 years. That was followed by a series of carbon offtake deals with large industrial firms like Linde and steel manufacturer Nucor, with Exxon agreeing to transport and store carbon dioxide from some of their operations along the Gulf Coast. And last month, Exxon announced the $4.9 billion purchase of Plano-based Denbury Incorporated, an oil company that, in Exxon's words, was an experienced developer of carbon capture, utilization, and storage solutions. Chevron, meanwhile, announced in March it had acquired 100,000 acres in Jefferson and Chambers counties for its Bayou Bend carbon storage project in East Texas. It is also developing a carbon storage site at a century-old oil and gas field in Central California, with plans to develop a direct air capture facility there, as part of a strategy to triple its low-carbon investments to more than $10 billion by 2028. Quote, the large oil companies are seeing carbon capture and storage not just as an opportunity to decarbonize their value chains, but create a viable business, said Musket Osroff, chief executive of the consulting firm Accenture Strategy. Quote, there's no universal carbon pricing regime right now, but increasingly will be pockets of carbon taxation around the world, end quote. That effort has been met with disdain by many environmentalists who question the reliability of the technology and whether the same oil companies largely responsible for the climate crisis should now get to profit from it, petitioning to keep oil companies out of climate policy making like the upcoming COP27 and United Arab Emirates. Quote, their livelihood is the extraction of oil, said Jeff Orr, North American director of the environmental group 350.org. Quote, are we supposed to be impressed or appalled they've turned this into a money-making opportunity? Oil companies have so far largely won the support of governments, which, over the past 2 years, have become increasingly convinced the net zero goal will be impossible without large-scale carbon storage. Amos Hochstein, senior advisor to Biden, heralded a carbon management deal between Occidental and UAE this month, saying, quote, the world is going to need a host of technologies, including direct air capture and carbon capture and storage, to meet our global climate objectives, end quote. Quote, this is not a gotcha game. We have to meet energy demand, said Chris Powers, vice president of carbon capture at Chevron. Quote, hydrocarbons are going to be in the supply stack for decades to come, so the best thing we can do is find an ever cleaner way to help make them lower carbon over time, end quote.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Saturday, August 26th, 2023. Religion. Reverend Flores fights the good fight. Program to turn addicts' lives around 70 to 75% successful. By Bob Campbell. Most people see a man caught up in drug or alcohol addiction and write him off, saying he's worthless, forget about him, and move on. Let him destroy himself because he is not worth my concern. But the Reverend Albert Flores sees a soul worth saving and takes him into the reclamation program that has been operating since 1990 at Victory Life Church, where five such men are living in a dormitory behind the 325 North County Road West Church, eating with the pastor and his family three times a day, and participating in prayer and Bible studies. It takes backing, and Flores is hoping for donations of money and clothing. He may be reached at 432-978-9959. His church meets at 10 a.m. Sundays with an average of 40 to 60 people. As part of the statewide Victory Christian Fellowship, Flores had just returned August 9th from Houston after meeting with 800 leaders at one of the three-day conferences that are held every 6 months in various cities. He said the Odessa program has a success rate of 70 to 75%, and that men who fall off the wagon are taken back the first time and then asked to seek help at a program in San Angelo, El Paso, Fort Worth, or another city to get them out of the environment of the city of Odessa. The first thing we do is introduce them to Jesus Christ and let them know it is not a drug or alcohol problem, it's a sin problem, Flores said. It's a choice to open up your heart and see Christ. We emphasize prayer, discipline, and supervision to keep an eye on them so that they don't go back and wallow in sin. We have men who graduated from our program and are now members of our church, productive with their lives and doing great things. And I have had others come back from years ago and thank me and let me know they're doing okay. They are so grateful to have been able to get turned around. Flores said women sometimes come to the church and ask for help, and that he and his wife counsel them and recommend programs in other cities that house women. "I always tell the guys, if you're in the hospital, I can go and pray for you," he said. "If you're in jail and I visit you, there is still hope. But if I find out you overdosed or got killed and I go to the cemetery, it's over." No matter how bad it looks, there is still hope for everybody. They feel so guilty and condemned because of sin. But today is the day of salvation. Living on purpose. God's love is about forgiveness, not condemnation. By William F. Holland, Jr., ordained licensed Christian minister. Some of you might keep a close watch on the news, and others may listen occasionally or not at all. But whatever the case, you've heard enough to realize that it's common for worldly information to be relayed from a biased perspective. Worldviews and convictions dictate which side of the fence individuals are on. However, for the Christian, we are realizing that social politics has become a confusing puppet show that distracts us from what God is saying. We should know and trust that He is the only one who has all the answers to everything. Remember the old song that says He has the whole world in His hands? Do we believe it? Political parties claim to be the opposite, but like a soap opera, it's a misleading facade where the actors play games and read scripts of what they are told to say. The two-faced devil is like this. He is the master distractor and is hoping we will become so mesmerized by the media theater that we will worship it as an idol. What would be wise is to analyze the facts. God is life, light, and truth, and is trying to tell us that we are precious to Him, He loves us, and wants to save us from death, which is the wage or consequence of sin. On the other side, we have the devil, who wants to destroy us and is trying to intelligently and scientifically persuade us to throw the Bible in the trash and live however we want. So, why again do we make this more difficult than it needs to be? The most important decision we will ever make comes down to whose voice we choose to follow. Our ears and eyes are conduits to our thoughts, and we are responsible to guard and protect this battlefield from deception and lies. How do we do that? Christians are called to develop spiritual discernment, where they can judge the spirits and have a keen sense of awareness from the Holy Spirit that warns them when something is not right. Some of you are probably thinking that not only are you lacking in this area, but obviously many others are also. You are correct, but it should not be this way. As we read and study the book of Ephesians, we can no longer be a baby that cries for the bottle. When a person commits to God's kingdom, they have enlisted on the side of light and are now in a constant battle with darkness. This means they must pray and discipline themselves to not be conformed to the world, but instead be transformed by the renewing of their mind. Why does it talk about being fully protected by the whole armor of God? Because as we draw near to Him, the more intense the demonic attacks will come. When the devil laughs and blames you for being a loser and a failure, tell him that you have been washed in the blood of Jesus, you are forgiven, and you are not going to listen to an accuser of the brethren. John chapter 8 says, "There is no truth in Satan, and he is the father of all lies." One of the more common problems I hear from men and women is based on a sense of guilt and shame from the snare traps they have fallen into. Satan condemns them for what they have done, and this feeling of being unworthy causes fear and holds them incarcerated in the agony of rejection and defeat. Listen, friend, once you repent to the Father and He washes you clean with the blood of Jesus, you are purified, which allows you to approach His throne boldly. Not only does He long to forgive you, but He promises He will never bring it up again. "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." Hebrews 8:12. Raise your hand if you want a $100 bill. I'm going to crumple it up. Do you still want it? I'm going to stomp it in the dirt, pound it with hammers, bake it, soak it, deface it, and throw it in the pig pen. Do you still want it? Why? Because even though it has been through the valley of the shadow of death, it still has as much value as it always did. This is the way God sees you today. Discover more about the Christian life at BillyHollandMinistries.com.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.